You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Last Shopping Mall. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Last August, one of the largest shopping centers in the whole world opened its doors for business. This gigantic center called Mall of America is located in Bloomington, Minnesota. The four floors for shopping cover an area as large as 88 football fields. And when it first opened, this shopping mall drew 1 million visitors every week. Promoters project that by 1996, this shopping mall will draw more visitors than the Walt Disney World. The builders of this gigantic shopping center are very excited, but they are also privately troubled by some recent trends. In 1980, the average shopper spent 12 hours every month at the shopping mall. But 10 years later, in 1990, the average time spent each month by a shopper in a mall dropped dramatically from 12 to only 4 hours. People today are simply not spending time in shopping malls like they used to. Now, various reasons have been given to explain this change. Most convincing is the fact that people nowadays have less and less time to wander around in large malls. People now increasingly prefer to target specifically what they need and then drive to a small strip mall and pick up the merchandise quickly. The public's waning interest in large shopping malls deeply troubles developers and large merchants. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we are also told that a time is coming when people will no longer be able to buy, to shop, and to invest. This is all described in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Here we read about the conditions which will exist when civilization begins to rapidly wind down and when the world will come to the end of its existence as we now know it. On that day, the Bible explains, a voice will cry out saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come." Then comes that somber verse of the Bible which states that the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over Babylon because no one buys her cargoes anymore. Now, as shocking as this may sound to some, there shall surely come this time in history when mankind will no longer be able to lust for and to obtain material goods. The merchants of the earth, the Bible explains, will then weep and mourn over the Babylon of materialism because no one buys her cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and cargoes of precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots. Oh, surely many people today are surprised or even shocked to hear from the Bible that such a time will come where people will no longer be able to shop and buy goods. But even more stunned, the Bible points out, will be those rich merchants who have all their goods to sell, and yet they will be unable to sell them. This is all taught in the book of Revelation. Now, of course, many of us realize that the number of people and the so-called specialists who have been interpreting the book of Revelation in recent years is incredible. Some say the book of Revelation teaches us all about current international politics. Others say that the book of Revelation tells us about mysterious visions and fatalistic numbers. But the message of the book of Revelation is not one of religious dreams or speculation. The unchanging message of the book of Revelation is one of solid hope, and it is also a handbook of future history, warning people that they not permit themselves to be misled by the devil's clever temptations, especially the often eternally fatal temptation of materialism. And the message of Revelation also goes hand in hand with the message of the Apostle Peter, who wrote, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, and be firm in your faith." No better example is available for Christians today for defending themselves against the devil than the example of Jesus himself. When he was tempted in the wilderness, in this situation, Satan appealed to Christ's humanity. He offered Jesus power and riches. In one situation, the devil led Jesus to a high area and showed the Savior all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Then Satan said to Jesus, "I will give you all this domain and its glory. If you worship before me, it shall all be yours." Jesus, however, flatly refused. In another situation, the devil told Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "Man shall not live on bread alone." In his response, the Savior was quoting the word which God gave very early in history, recorded in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is one of the earliest records of God's dealing with man. Already at the beginning of history, God said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Oh, our blessed Savior's advice is clear, isn't it? Our best weapon against the devil's temptation, including the subtle temptation of materialism, is the all-powerful and the living Word of God. The Apostle Paul echoes this conviction when he said, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Yes, Jesus is this living Word, and when Jesus lives in our hearts by faith, we can then begin every day with a calm assurance that no matter what material temptations the devil may dangle before our eyes, Jesus will enable us to resist. The Word of Jesus is our power, and this Word is also our weapon. This is also why Christians in every century, especially during times of persecution, not only read and studied the Bible, but they also memorized the Word of God. These martyrs believed in the power of God's Word. They read the Word daily. Yea, they also memorized large sections of the Holy Scriptures so that they could have this powerful weapon of God immediately available for defense against the devil. We can safely say that the devil has deceived more people into hell in the last century by using the trick or the deception of materialism than by almost any other means. The evidence for this is frightening. For example, the unrestricted drive of the public to buy, and to continue to buy is evidenced in the unbridled use of credit cards. The statistics involving credit cards are stunning. Although credit cards are now used in many countries, last year in the United States alone, Americans were using credit cards to buy goods at the rate of $1 million every minute. That's correct. $1 million every minute is charged on credit cards. Of course, many of these items are basic needs, but a large percentage of the purchases are also unneeded luxuries. Last year, Americans charged $480 billion on credit cards. But what does all this have to do with religion and the Bible and a Christian message? My friend, it has a lot to do. During the past few minutes, we have been considering that part of the Bible in the book of Revelation, where we read that the devil will frequently use money
and man's inherent desire to own and to possess as one of his most effective methods of deception. In this way, Satan snares the average person and deceives him through an illusion of future happiness based upon the acquisition of material goods. The devil then drags his victim into disillusionment and perhaps even into the ultimate satanic goal, the fires of everlasting hell. Material and worldly goods in themselves are not evil, but their potential to capture our hearts and to cause us to seek, to own, and even to adore, yea, even to worship these goods, this is idolatry. It is a sin against God, a sin which brings terrible, terrible judgment. Now, if you and I recognize Satan's seductive powers by which he effectively deceives millions, by making them desire material and earthly possessions as their God, yes, even if we recognize this trick of the devil, then alone and on our own, we still remain powerless to stand up against this evil force. This is a power which the Apostle Paul describes as part of the world forces of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There is only one power, my friend. Yes, there is only one power capable of standing up to and defeating the world forces of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness. This is the power of the Easter resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was on the cross of Calvary that Jesus died, and it was on this same cross that the Savior's enemies believed that they had forever done away with the blessed Savior. But 3 days later, after the crucifixion, a new, yes, a totally unexpected event took place. Jesus rose from the dead. Death was defeated and sin was conquered and the gates of heaven were opened. And so, for this reason, as each day you and I are tempted by the devil to live in his kingdom and to serve Satan by lusting after materialism and worldly goods, so then we need the Savior's superior resurrection power to break from Satan's temptation and to defeat this prince of darkness and the master of deceit. The power you and I need to face the devil does not come naturally. You and I need to be actively involved. We need to put forth special spirit-enabling effort, insulating and defending ourselves from the daily deceptions of the devil, especially the temptation of the love and the lust of materialism. And for this defense, we need to read and to study and to daily meditate upon the living Word of God. For an effective defense of the devil, we need to pray every day. We need to get to know Jesus and to speak to him as intimately as our most trusted friend. But most of all, my friend, you need and I need to be in communion or in fellowship with God every day. We need to be connected like a power line or an umbilical cord to the life-giving resurrection power of God in Jesus Christ. We are connected to this source when we have daily devotions. We have this devil-defeating power when we read brief sections from the Bible or from booklets especially prepared for daily devotions. We are connected to this almighty power of life when we hear sermons on Sunday, when we go to Sunday school and to Bible class. Therefore, my friend, if your heart sincerely desires to do such a thing, and if you sincerely desire to have a devotion at the beginning and at the end of every day, then write us, and we will tell you how you can begin and where you can obtain interesting and helpful materials for your daily devotions. As you make plans for a new beginning in life, a life centered around God and a life unattached to the lusts of materialism, then you must also be sure to be part of the greatest joy of all, and that is worshiping every week with other believers in the Lord Jesus. Plan now to gather every weekend to praise the Heavenly Father and the blessed Lord Jesus in hymns and in song. This is what your soul needs. And so, my friend, instead of hoping to be inspired by strolling around in some glittering shopping mall and by lusting after all the things that you would like to buy in shops, you need instead to build a secure and joy-filled future based upon Jesus Christ, a future which will bring you meaning that will never get old, never wear out, and never be out of date. The book of Revelation teaches clearly that the world will soon come to an end, and at that time, no one will lust for or even desire material goods anymore. But at that moment, for many, it will be too late. Therefore, my friend, don't use God in prayer only when you are desperate or in trouble. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ every day instead. For when you do this, the devil will lose his grip on your soul, and you shall be saved by the grace of God eternally. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.